Okay, greetings everyone. All those who are here today, probably have more people coming, I'm sure. It's just been a long day yesterday. It's been a long week, actually. I just want to say also thank you for all those folks that are online with us today. Praise God that you're with us, and thank you for being here. And I know we have more people that will be coming up here, so praise God. Amen. But I just want to encourage everyone to stay strong in the Lord. Amen. Be encouraged. Know that God is able to help us in all things. Amen. He's able to help us overcome. So why don't we pray and ask God to just lead, guide, and direct the service. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for today and what you're doing, Lord. What you're doing in every heart, every soul, Lord God, how that you are able to draw people, how that you are able to lead, to guide, and to direct. Oh, Lord God, oh, Heavenly Father, how that you're able to save, heal, and deliver. Oh, Lord, how that you are the one true God who's always on time, and that you teach us, Lord God, how to wait on thee. Oh, Lord God, how that you work that patience in us perfectly. Help us, Lord, now to hear, to know, to see, to understand with a heart, Lord God, a hungry heart that will receive thy word, that will be teachable, that would long to worship thee, Lord God, in truth and in spirit. We give it all over to thee right now, asking, O Lord, that you will be here today. As Sam would come up here later today, Lord, that you would be here with him. That you would anoint his message, O Lord God. That you'd be with his words, Lord God. That you would be with the people that are online and that are here that would hear. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, greetings everyone. Good to see you guys so up too. Praise God. I know that it's been a long night for you, I'm sure. Amen. Chris had a graduation thing yesterday. And boy, he's now fresh out of high school and about to embark on in life now. You'll be welcomed into the real world pretty soon. But with that will come a lot of good and joy, especially as you keep Philippians 4:13 in your heart. Amen. Praise God. So why don't we go ahead and just give everything to the Lord today? You know, the Bible talks a lot about honoring God, doesn't it? And you know, in 1 Samuel 2:30, it talks about that those who honor me, I will honor. Isaiah 42:8 says, I will give no honor to another. I will not give my honor to another. See, the Word of God is a place of refuge. It's a place that is a soothing place for the soul when you put God first. It's going to be that comfort in time of grief. It'll be that place that you open the door and you find that sweet fragrance of God's Word fill your heart. Fill your heart with that joy, the fruits of joy and peace, strength in time of need, light in the time of darkness. The Bible talks about that. For His Word is a light unto my path, amen, to my feet. So, why don't we just sing to the Lord? But remember this. Honor God Honor God with your life, and He will honor you. Honor God and His Word, He will honor you. If you put Him first, and you have a time of need, He'll remember you. I remember the time when I remember Pastor had a story that he mentioned about an old man who was whoever it was, he would pray in the hospital every day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He would pray in the 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he ended up in the hospital. And then the Lord would show up and sit in that chair next to him at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and talk with him. And how important that is for us to be faithful to God, and He'll be faithful to us.
Praise the Lord.
Remember that. Keep God first in your life. There are young people here. There are older people. We all need to hear that.
Amen.
All of us alike need to hear that. And I just wanted to mention that today. Lord put that on my heart. And there are people that have financial needs. There are people that are in financial duress. All over the country, even here. And how important it's going to be that we lift each other up. And one more thing I want to mention too. I know Shirley's had a tough time as of late too. And I will dare say that this ministry would cease to exist if Shirley wasn't here. She's got a lot of stuff on her plate, and she's getting overly stressed with things that have deadlines, phone calls, emails, counseling with people. And the Lord equipped her to do so. I'm not lifting up a person over God here today, but we are to prefer one another before ourselves, the Bible says, to always pray for one another and to be mindful of that, to be good stewards, not only with our time, not only with our money, but with our prayer life and how that we pray for others. How important that's going to be in the coming days and months and weeks or years ahead if the Lord tarries that long. But I want to encourage you to pray for Shirley as she's going through this great time of stress in her own life. But not only that, we have to remember that the devil will use every trick in the book to get everybody busy so that they can't pray for one another. It's a trick from the enemy. And he wants to get your mind and your hearts away from him so that your time becomes an idle tool. So that pretty soon all you can think about is complaining and murmuring. And the Lord wants us to be one in heart and one in spirit. When we can do that, then we've become a great tool for God to use. Vessels of honor and not dishonor.
Praise the Lord.
Vessels unto honor.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
And I just want to encourage you today to get not only busy with the work of God, don't forget to pray. You must fight for your time with God. And please don't make the mistake of thinking that your prayers don't count.
Amen.
Don't make the mistake to think that you don't make a difference. Everyone here can make a big difference. Did you know that one person can make a difference?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And everyone here is going to be needed in these coming days, weeks, months. Everyone here is going to be needed and counted upon to do their part for the kingdom of God. I would say to anyone who could hear to get on board that ship, that gospel ship, sailing to the shores of heaven. Get on that ship. Don't look back. Put your hand to the plow. Don't be a Lot's wife, but be a wife or a man of God who can be trusted to obey the word of God, who God will then put in charge, who God will put in places where God can count on you to do it work for Him. Amen? You can stand in that place of accountability and then on that day be rewarded for that work that you've done faithfully for God. The Lord is looking for such a people. It's not about what's going on out there. It's all about what's going on right here.
Praise you, Lord.
Right here. Don't ever forget that, please. I want to exhort and encourage, because every soul here is precious. Every soul here has a part to play. And oh, how we need each other. I can't overemphasize that enough. But it starts with a friendship with Jesus, don't it? It starts with that personal relationship. Before you can be a blessing to others, first, you've got to know the Lord. And the Lord will then give you the light to see and to hear and to understand, to be that person for somebody else. So let's go to number 103 in the chorus book. Friendship with Jesus.
A friend of mine. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what a communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what a blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine.
Praise God. I don't know that very well, but we're going to learn it, aren't we? And then there's that one song right below it. He had compassion on me, therefore we should have compassion on one another. Amen. Have compassion one for another, but more than that, have compassion for the Word of God. And when you have compassion for God, He'll give you that joy, that rejoicing in God's Word. He'll give you that rejoicing for His fellowship. You know what I mean? Because you can't wait to get in that place of fellowship with God in the morning. You can't wait to get to that place where you hear from God. And that's a sign that you are truly walking with Him. When you have that desire, that love for God's Word, to get into that place of worship and praise and prayer. Amen? And He wants to put that on every one of you. And you see, the world is going to fight for that. The devil's going to contend for that against you. You know why? Because that can change lives. Oftentimes, the devil will meet people at the back door when you leave the church. He'll meet you with a greeting hand. He'll wear that hat. He'll wear that cloak. And he'll walk you out to the door and he'll start putting thoughts into your mind. And pretty soon you forget everything that's ever been said for that sermon. Before you get down the road, you've already forgotten everything that's ever been said. The devil will make sure of it because he loves to steal the Word of God out of people's hearts. See, that's part of contending for the faith. Contend for the faith. Live for God. Develop that love for Christ in you, and that love will automatically go towards others. It will come out in your mouth, in your heart. What you have in your heart comes out of your mouth. Amen? And it'll come out in one form or another. And when you have a love for Christ, it's going to come out in many ways that you'll want to share. You can't wait to greet someone. You can't wait to wave to somebody. You can't wait to say, have a great and blessed day. You want to bless somebody because that compassion is in you, that love for Christ, that love of Christ is not only in you, but it's for others. Because truly it's all about others, which ultimately becomes all about Christ. Amen? So, let's sing that song, He Had Compassion on Me. Had compassion on me, touch my eyes and now I see, touch my feet, now I walk in His way. He had compassion on me, free from sin, I'm set free. Oh, praise the Lord, He had compassion on me. He had compassion on me, touch my eyes and now I see, touch my feet, now I walk in His way. He had compassion on me. Now from sin I'm set free. Oh, praise the Lord. He had compassion on me. One more time. He had compassion on me. Touch my eyes and now I'm free. Touch my feet, now I walk in His way. He had compassion on me. Now from sin I'm set free. Oh, praise the Lord. He had compassion on me. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God in heaven. Hey, it's okay to raise your voice.
Thank you, God.
It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to raise your hands. Amen.
Praise you.
It's okay to do so. We're in God's house.
Amen.
That's why we're here. Hey, we're not sitting on some street corner, but even if we were, it'd be a good thing to do, right? Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's in charge. We ought to act like that, like He is. the Lord's in charge. We ought to believe like He is. Amen? He is. You may not see God in the physical, but the Bible talks about that when you see, the things that you see is temporal. The things that you don't see is eternal. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
That's why He says, those that have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. Oh, how we need that. To see with a heart of understanding. Amen? To trust God in all things. To obey God's word. And you know, one way that you can know, and one way that you can know that you're making a difference, is to wake up every day figuring out a way that you can inspire someone to come up higher. If you can inspire somebody to come up higher, one person, you're making a big difference right there. Did you know that?
Praise the Lord.
Did you know that that's a lost art, is encouraging people? That's why Shirley is so valuable to the ministry. I don't know of anyone here who has that ability, that who the Lord has equipped more to encourage people than Shirley, as I listen to her talk over the phone with people that are in desperate straits, crying out for help. And that consolating voice on the other end, Shirley, who is able to pray with people. That's why we need each other so much. Can you see that? How that we need each other? When you need to call someone over the phone to pray for you, to help you in your time of need, when you get desperate, how we need each other to do that. You could do the same thing. But you see, it all comes with a heart that's completely surrendered to God. And when you're surrendered, when you live for God, I'm telling you, as sure as I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here today, He will do a change in your heart. He will do a work, and you'll be able to grab that honey, that hidden honey from the carcass of a lion like Samson did, and share it with other people. That honey of God's word. That sweet savor. That hidden gem that you can share with other people. That only comes when you have that surrendered heart. That place where you've completely given up on the flesh. You say, I don't want the flesh anymore. Because in the flesh rules death and ruin. But in the Spirit gives life.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise
in the Spirit that gives life eternal. Everyone here has that ability if you get into that depth with God.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
That place where then God can promote you and say, look, devil, have you considered my servant Job? A man without guile? Without fault? A man who would pray for his family? Who would ask God to pardon their sins? He would give sacrifice and offer to God in case they did sin that he doesn't know anything about? Remember that? What a man of God he was.
Amen.
For his family.
Praise the Lord.
But a great responsibility that we all hold one to another. And we ought to hold each other's feet to the fire. Isn't that right? Hold each other accountable. Lift each other up.
Praise you, God.
What good are we if we can't do that? We can't wink at sin and say it's okay because you're afraid to hurt someone's feelings. You can't do that in this walk.
That's right.
You can't poo-poo sin. You can't do that. If we're going to have any hope for growth, if there's going to be any hope for true spiritual life, we've got to come up higher to each other. Come up higher to God. Lift each other up out of the depths of the flesh, out of the ranks of sin and ruin. That's what it's about. I'm not preaching here today. I just want to take this time to encourage people because it's so needed. So let's ask God for that fresh touch, okay? Let's go to number 109 in the chorus book. That fresh touch from God. He touched me. Let's go there. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Somebody might ask you, do you love the Lord? You might say, yeah, I love the Lord, but are you a fanatic for Jesus? People get upset when you're a fanatic for Jesus. But the only way I know to love God is to be bananas for Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen? The only way that makes sense.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're not bananas for the Lord, if you're not fanatical for the Lord, then, you know, I would have to question, do you really love the Lord? And I'm not your judge to know that in your heart, but it's not about that so much. This is about trying to encourage you to look at ourselves, myself, yourself. Are we bananas for Jesus? Do we really love the Lord? How much? Are we willing to give up the flesh? Are we willing to just do away with all those things that bother us? The little idiosyncrasies that would annoyances in life that would cause us to turn our back all the distractions in life that would cause us to look to Sodom, all the little things that would keep our eyes off the one way. I mean, people can be so easily distracted in this life, so caught off guard. And you know, when the Lord comes back, do you really think that some big earth-shaking event is going to happen before He comes back? He's coming back as a snare.
That's right.
Amen. As a thief.
Amen.
People will think that it's going to be any other day like any other day.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful sunny day. People are going about their business. Pretty soon, there's going to be a big interruption. And it's over with.
That's right.
And are people going to be ready?
Yeah.
It's coming as a snare.
That's right.
Did you hear that? As a thief in the night. Unaware.
Amen.
Unaware. Boy, that's important to know that, isn't it? How important that's going to be for those that are going to be found ready.
Yes, oh Lord.
That are going to be ready for that day. Don't get caught off guard. Don't let life distract you so much where you're not ready. Don't do that. This is about life and death. In this earth, we hang in the balance.
Mm.
In this earth, we hang in the balance right here. And below you is death. Below you is, and up ahead, above you is life. We live in the balance right here. These are the proving grounds for your faith.
Amen.
What you do here will determine what happens here or up there. On Judgment Day. I want you to be ready. All of us need to be ready.
That's right.
Therefore, let's turn our eyes upon the Lord. Amen. One more song we'll sing. We'll have our brother Samuel come up momentarily. We're going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and sing that with all your heart, and then we'll take up the collection, our tithes and offerings, of course. And anybody have a prayer request or offering or anything that they need prayer over, please let us know. We can pray. And then we'll have Samuel come. He'll have a message. And we'll go from there. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Which number is
that? I'm sorry. 128, Shirley.
Okay.
In the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise God. Did you know that when you have a glimpse of heaven, that everything on this earth will turn dim? You'll never want anything to do with this earth again when you see Jesus in your heart more clearly.
Amen.
when you see that glimpse of heaven like you've never seen before, everything in this earth will mean nothing to you.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. So we'll go ahead now and take up tithes and offerings. And if I could have one of the brothers come up here and take up that for me, that'd be great. Praise God. Rob, thank you. If anybody has a prayer request or need, please feel free to raise your hand. Sister.
I just want to lift up the Lord. He, with his graduation party yesterday, I just felt his peace.
Amen.
Being with everyone, I'm so thankful to God for what he does.
Oh, amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And I have a prayer. Because I was in part of the world. There was worldly people, there was Christ-centered people. I want to make sure my feet are in the Christ-centered life.
Amen.
And walk and be in both parts, which I don't have often together with a family.
Oh, amen.
I just want to make sure I'm walking right.
Oh, amen.
Heart
for Christ. A heart, yeah. no matter who you are, where you are.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Where I need to be and not be walking in the flesh, because there was a lot of fleshly people. So I just want to know my heart's right with God.
Yeah, you know, I think you handled yourself great. I really do. I think the graduation thing went real well, and we had a chance to interject the Lord in that prayer, and all things went well. I believe people walked away with a sense of something to think about. And I think that's important. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
So, brother, go ahead.
I really like the time to thank my parents and my family, but I like to pray as well to my family for putting the graduation together.
Amen. Okay. All right. Praise God. For those who are online, they just wanted to say thank you for the Chris's parents for putting that together for Chris and of course his mom, Tori, wants to walk closer with the Lord and make sure that she's Christ-centered, and how important that's going to be for all of us to think that way, to be that way.
Amen, amen, amen.
So, just if people could lift her up in prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Lift each other up in prayer.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid of what people are going to think. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, now for what you're doing. Thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. Thank you, Lord God, that you would use this church, use these tithes, gifts, and offerings for your purpose and for your glory. We give it to you under the blood in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, brother. Great. Okay, praise God.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here today. I know it seems like it's been a while since I've been up here, and a lot has happened since the last time I was up here. August has actually been quite a month for my wife and I. towards the beginning of the month, I think it was the 8th, my wife was having an allergic reaction to something in the middle of the night, and it was getting real bad. Her throat was closing up, so we took her to the emergency room, and she was there, I think, for about 2.5 hours, and they took a couple x-rays, and they gave her some medication, and so forth, and after a while, she seemed to be getting better, so we went home, and she was still really out of it. I think some of the reactions from the drugs they gave her may have been worse than the allergic reaction, but we went home, and that night, she had an awful migraine. She was in a lot of pain, and she asked me to pray for her, so I did that. I put my hand on her head, and I started praying for her, and when I finished, I took my hand off, and she said, you know, when your hand was on my head, it didn't hurt anymore.
Praise
the Lord. So I put my hand back on her head, and she said, it doesn't hurt. So I just kept it that way. I held her head basically for 40 minutes, and she said, you know, while my hand was there, her head didn't hurt, so I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. That was actually a beautiful experience. That was the first time anything like that has ever happened to me, and it was quite wonderful. I would appreciate it if you would keep us all in prayer, though, because we do have some medical bills that we're going to be dealing with now. What we're going to do today is we're going to have a study on the Philippian church, and I'm looking forward to this because this is quite a story. We're going to start out in the book of Acts, and then after that we're going to go over to the book of Philippians. Before I get started, I would like to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy many blessings. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee that thou hast given us this opportunity to gather in thy name and to worship thee and to serve thee and to study thy holy word. I ask, O God, that thou wouldest be here with each and every one of us, that thou wouldest dwell in our hearts, that this word would sink down deeply into our hearts, O God. I ask that thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that would perceive and understand. I pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. All right, now to get started here, I'd like to go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. And what we're going to look at in Acts chapter 16 is the birth of a church. Sometimes you have to go through great struggles to accomplish the will of God, and we'll see that what Paul and Silas went through in Acts chapter 16 was not easy. But it was worth it all. I'm sure they would tell you that if they could. In Acts chapter 16, going down to verse 16, Paul and Silas are in Philippi, and they are ministering to the people there. And it turns out that this young witch had been following them around. She had the spirit of divination in her, and we'll see what happens. Acts 16:16 tells us, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." So her masters were making a lot of money off of her perceived ability. Of course, we know that when witches do that, actually what happens is they dispatch evil spirits to do their bidding. My dad had some experience with that in his earlier days. He was an astrologer, and he told us about that many times. But it's, you know, they don't really have any special powers. It's just a dispatch of evil spirits to do their bidding. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, what she was saying there was actually true, but she had no right to say it. And we'll see here that that grieved Paul greatly. "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So all of a sudden, she lost her ESP. She could no longer divine spirits. She was no longer a soothsayer, just like that. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Uh-oh, now they are mad. They're furious with Paul and Silas. These men had been making a lot of money. And all of a sudden, that was all gone. She couldn't do it anymore. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So what did Paul and Silas do? They had been thrown in jail, they had been beaten, they had been whipped, they were in a lot of pain. Their backs had been ripped open, they'd received many stripes. So what were they doing there in prison? Were they having a pity party? No. It tells us in verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." That must have been quite some singing. All the prisoners heard them. You know, even in prison, you can have great joy in the Lord because the Lord is with you no matter where you are. And who's to say that someday we might not end up in prison ourselves? The way things are going, you never know. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." The Holy Ghost was so present there, the power of God came down in such a mighty way that there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. That's quite a miracle. "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." You know, the jailer, he saw that the doors had been opened, so he assumed that the prisoners must have run off, which would be a logical assumption, but that hadn't happened. It tells us in verse 28, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Another miracle. And that must have had quite an impact on the jailer. It tells us in verse 29, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway." That's what happens when you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the next step. And of course, we see that this jailer, he and his entire family, they were anxious to be baptized. They didn't wait. They were baptized that very night. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. see, Paul, he was a unique individual. He was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And they had not realized that at this point. So when he told them that, the magistrates were very afraid because what they had done was illegal. They were not allowed to do that to Roman citizens. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And that is how the church at Philippi was founded. Through a prison, through a night in prison, through much suffering, through stripes, through beatings. But it was worth it all because of that, a church in Philippi was born. What I'd like to do now is go to the book of Philippians. There's a lot in Philippians. It's only four chapters, but there's a lot in Philippians, and it's a wonderful book, actually a letter. And to set the stage for what's happening here, Paul has been put in prison again in Rome, and the church at Philippi had heard of this. So they sent a man from their church to bring an offering to Paul and to minister unto him. This man's name was Epaphroditus, and he was very faithful. And he assisted Paul every way that he could. And he eventually came down with a sickness and was so sick that he almost died. But the Lord had mercy on Epaphroditus. And what this is the letter that Paul wrote and sent along with Epaphroditus to take to the church at Philippi. And we can see that the church at Philippi had great affection for Paul, and Paul had great affection for them. And there's a lot we can learn about how a church should operate from the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until that day, until the day of Jesus Christ. And that applies to us too. In fact, everything in this book applies to us too. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now that word may look strange, but the word bowels there, it has a different meaning than what we're accustomed to today. It was, at the time, it meant feelings of pity or compassion. So when you see bowels there, that's what that's referring to. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more, and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We all need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. See, you know, Paul, he was in prison again. He spent a lot of time in prison, but again, he was not having a pity party. He was actually okay with this because his stay in prison there had helped spread the gospel. He didn't mind suffering for the gospel. And we may be called to do that very same thing one of these days. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know, Paul, regardless of the circumstances, if the gospel of Christ was being preached, he rejoiced in that. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul didn't know what was going to happen at this point. Maybe he was going to die. Maybe he would live on a while yet. But, you know, even if we die, we're not really dead. Christians don't really die. We just go through a door into eternity. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, I can relate to those verses a lot. You know, I spend a lot of time reading the news and learning about what's happening in the world, and the world has become a very ugly place, and I don't really like being in this world very much, but I know I'm here for a reason, and I know I have a job to do. But I would rather be with Jesus. And of course, I don't want to leave my wife, and I don't want to leave my family, and I don't want to leave my church family, but at the same time, I want to be in heaven. And I think we can probably all relate to that. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Of course, we know that if we abide in the love of Christ, we have nothing to be afraid of. We know that it says in 1 John, perfect love casteth out fear. If you have perfect love in your hearts, you don't have to be afraid of anything. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. And we'll continue on here in chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
That's the way we're supposed to behave in this church. We need to be of one mind and one accord. We need to realize that nobody here is any better than anyone else. I'm no better than any of you. Tim's no better than any of you. My mom's no better than any of you. This is all, we're all equal in the sight of God, and that's how we need to behave. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So what he's saying there is don't be just focused on yourself. Don't be so self-absorbed, but we need to care about each other. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, Jesus was both God and man, but he humbled himself and put on flesh. He set the example for us. We need to be like Jesus. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that day is coming. Everyone will bow before Jesus Christ, and they will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone will do it. Every atheist, every agnostic, every witch, every Muslim, they're all going to bow before Jesus Christ. Amen. And they are going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thankfully, we know that if we are in the will of God, if we have been washed in his blood and baptized in his name, then what he will tell us when we bow before Jesus Christ is, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. And those are words we all long to hear. And you will if you completely obey the Lord. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, in our lives, there's going to come a time when your faith is attacked. And the enemy is going to try to come in there and sow seeds of discord and throw doubt into your life. But if you resist the devil, you will be well. And I believe that's what it's referring to when it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of all of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. There should never be any murmurings and disputings in the church. If there's murmurings and disputings in the church, then something is wrong. And we all need to seek God and make sure that there's none of that in this church. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, there's an old saying, live your life in such a way that if anyone spoke ill of you, no one would believe it. And that's what we all need to do, so that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Another point of emphasis in this book, in this letter to the Philippians, is joy. You know, despite our circumstances, we can have joy in our hearts, and that's what the Lord wants for us. He doesn't want his children to be sad and depressed all the time. And there is great joy for us. And, you know, if you're not feeling that joy, then sometimes what's best to do is just get into that secret place with God and get down on your knees and spend some time with the Lord until you feel that joy again. Shut everything else out so that it's just you and Him. I've had to do that many times. But there is great joy waiting for you. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. So the Apostle Paul, he had great affection for Timothy, and he's telling the church at Philippi, he's hoping to send Timothy to see them soon. Paul loved Timothy as his own son. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. He was hoping to visit the church at Philippi too. He didn't know what was going to happen. He's basically saying here in this letter that we will wait and see what happens to me. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus, it doesn't say what his illness was exactly, but he must have been very sick, and he was nigh unto death. But God healed him, and God is our healer. He is our deliverer. And as long as we're still meant to be on this earth, he can deliver us. He can heal us. I know my dad, he had been healed many times throughout his life. I know back in 2005, he had been very close to death, and he had more sermons to preach. He had more newsletters to write, and I'm so thankful that he was here with us another 5 years. I know when he got to the hospital, the doctors, he told them he had just barely made it. He was very close to dying, just hours away. But it wasn't his time yet. And I'm thankful for that, because I think that if he had gone back then, this church probably wouldn't still be here. I know I wasn't ready to be involved in it yet, and the newsletter, I don't know what would have happened with that, but that was, thankfully, that was not the plan. And, you know, I still feel sad a lot of times about my dad leaving us in 2010, but that was the Lord's will, and one thing you can be sure of is that he is not sad at all where he is. And in fact, it was a great blessing for him. He had been in pain a long time, and the Lord finally took him home. And the Lord finally said, "That's enough. You've done enough. You've worked hard enough." And I know he only lived 60 years, but he did so much in his lifetime. He did the work of 3 or 4 men, really. But I am so thankful that he was with us as long as he was, and that he was able to keep preaching for that last 5 years of his life. I personally believe that a lot of those messages he preached were some of his finest, some of the best messages he ever preached. So the Lord is our healer, and he is our deliverer. Praise the Lord. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You can see here, Paul is really emphasizing joy. And this is coming from a man who's sitting in prison. People must have thought he was crazy. They must have thought, you have nothing to be happy about. You're in bonds, you're in jail. But he had great joy in his life because he was a servant of God. He had Jesus Christ in his life. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So the Apostle Paul, in his former life, before he was converted, he was a Pharisee. And of course, what he's talking about in the beginning of chapter 3 here is that religious structure, that Judaism. He forsook all of that. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So everything he had in the past, all of that religious structure, the Pharisees, that Judaism, he counted it all dung. He didn't miss it at all. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What the word apprehend there means is to grasp, to get a hold of. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We all need to do that. We need to press on. It's world is full of many struggles. There's a lot of suffering in this world, but we need to keep pressing towards that mark, towards that prize, towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're on that straight and narrow road, but everything we endure in this life will be worth it in the end. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, there are great consequences coming for those who know not the Lord. It says here, whose end is their destruction. So we need to examine our own hearts and make sure we are serving God with our whole hearts, that we've given our lives to Him. We don't want our end to be destruction. Don't mind earthly things. Focus on God. Focus on heaven. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking for our Savior. We are awaiting His coming. That is what every Christian longs for, the return of Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You know, these bodies we have now, they're prone to illness, they're prone to weakness, they wear out, we suffer great pain at times. I know I'm looking forward to that new body. And we all have that waiting for us when we get to heaven. You know, Paul, he called it a vile body. And I'm sure he had been very beaten. I'm sure he had a lot of pain. He was greatly anticipating that day when he would have that new body. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So basically what Paul is saying here is that they all need to work together. Then we need to do that too. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And there he goes again, telling them to rejoice. A man who was in bonds, a man who was in prison, yet he's telling them to rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what he means there by be careful for nothing, I know it's worded unusually for the way we speak today, but he's basically telling them not to worry about anything. Don't be full of care, in other words. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. There is a great peace that we can all obtain through Jesus Christ. It's inexplicable. People out in the world are not going to understand how you can have this peace until they experience it for themselves. It's a peace which passeth all understanding. So no matter what your circumstances may be, no matter what your struggles may be, you can have that perfect peace through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I know that there's a lot of problems in this world, and part of my job is following the news. But all of that bad news that happens on a regular basis, you can't let that overtake you. You can't let that fill you with sorrow. And you know, sometimes we just need to stop and think on the good things of God. That's what he's telling us to do there in verse 8. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace is with each and every one of us. You know, whatever is bothering you, whatever you're struggling with, just give it all to God and you will have that peace. Just let it go. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, whatever state we're in, maybe sometimes we have a little money, maybe sometimes we have none, but whatever we have, whatever the Lord has given us, we need to be content with that. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that applies to each and every one of us too. There's nothing we can't do as long as Christ is strengthening us, as long as we're seeking Him and as long as we are in His will. If you are seeking to do the will of God, He will equip you. Amen. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So we see here that the church at Philippi, they had great affection for the Apostle Paul. This had not been the first time they had sent him a gift. They had also sent him an offering at Thessalonica, and he was very appreciative of that. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So Paul was happy to see this, not so much that because he received a gift, but he knew that the church at Philippi would be blessed for having given that gift. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he will do the same for each and every one of us. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is the book of Philippians. It's a wonderful chapter. There's a lot in there, a lot to learn. And you know, I read it over several times before I got up here, and I still feel like there's more in here that I can learn. This is a book I'm going to be going back to again and again. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hope this study was a blessing for all of you too. I know it's been a great blessing for me. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us. We thank thee for the book of Philippians and the many wonderful lessons in that book. We thank thee, O God, for thy blessings. We thank thee for showing us that we must be of one accord and that we must regard others more highly than ourselves. O Lord, I pray that these words would go with us and that they would sink down deeply into our hearts, that they would not leave us. I pray that thou wouldst go with each and every one of us, even as we leave this building today. I pray that thou wouldst bless each and every one of us. And I ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll sing a chorus in closing. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He will. walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer.